Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. Today, I'm joined by Quentin Thurman and Russ DeMott. My name is Jordan Thigpen, and we are going to talk all things discipleship pipeline in the life of Connection Church Statesboro. Let's get equipped.
What's up?
How's that shoulder feeling?
It gets better, and then I don't do what I'm supposed to do and don't leave my sling on, and then it hurts.
That's how it goes.
It's this endless cycle of me being hard-headed.
What do you think you're going to have to do? Are you going to get surgery, or are you just going
to
let it
I will find out on the 31st and go back to see how it's healed over the last couple weeks. Gotcha. So
anybody sees Russ, just go up to him, lay hands on his right shoulder. And pray.
In a very gentle way, lay hands on my right shoulder.
Shout out to Blake Hardiman.
Yeah.
Russ has a grade 2 sprain. He has, it's as if all the meat in the sandwich fell out. And that's what his shoulder is like. So that's what's going on in there. Well, cool. So the idea, Quentin, thanks for thinking ahead and getting us established for this conversation today of thinking about all things of our discipleship pipeline, as I kind of said in the intro. But I think maybe the more practical way, which you guys said it earlier, is how do we as a church, you know, organizationally, not that we are an organization, but from a leadership level, right? How do we think about the entire process of somebody going from not believing in Jesus or not actively following Jesus to beginning to follow Jesus all the way through to the end of somebody going as a missionary to an unreached people group or somebody going and planting a church or somebody coming on staff as a coordinator or a director or a pastor and just the ins and outs and all of that. And so let's think about that a little bit today. I think that's 3 for 3 with us. We all started as people who were not following Jesus that got saved here through the ministry of Connection Church Statesboro. And we have gone through somewhere between 87% to 100% of our processes and procedures. Maybe let's start with the personal side of all of that. And if you can think all the way back to the time that you gave your life to the Lord, how was that on the receiving end of the, now with hindsight being what you have now, what was your experience of the beginning portions of the Connection Church discipleship process? Quentin, you're the most recently saved. I'm going to put you on the spot first.
So I actually remember it pretty fondly. I remember coming to Connection for the first time about 3.5, maybe almost 4 years ago. And I remember there was Welcome to Connection at that point. And so me and Caroline had came here, heard Brandon preach, and you know, felt a lot of what most people feel when they come here. Is it felt like home, felt like family, felt very welcoming. And so we went to the first time guest table. You know, they kind of got information, plugged us in, and then, you know, recommended we go to the Welcome to Connection class. And so we went there, got to talk with a staff member at that point, and it was really cool, like just how open and honest Connection was about who they were and how they do things as a church, and just kind of how it operates and what other opportunities they were and just where we were at in our life stage as two recently married younger adults with no kids. We were like, yeah, let's get more involved. You know, we're, anybody that knows us knows our story. We are from Illinois originally, not from here. And so to have no family here, really have no friends here. And so the idea of building community and getting to know people was more than intriguing, was more than exciting for us. And so, you know, went to the class, and then I think maybe, you know, like the next time they offered Heart and Soul, we went through that. And I think to pause there for a second, the thing that really stood out to us the most was the person that did our Welcome to Connection class remembered our names and like said hey to us, like made a point to say hey to us, either maybe that next weekend or, you know, kind of the next time we had saw them. And so that really stood out to us of just, wow, like this, even though this is a big church and there's a lot of going on and a lot of faces, this person knew us or made a point to remember our names and say, hey, Quentin and Caroline, how are you guys doing? And, you know, asking us about our life and just kind of what our week was like. And that really meant a ton to us. And so, you know, going through Heart and Soul, at the time, like, again, just it felt like more transparency and more of just, hey, this is who we are. And, you know, there was nothing that felt like they wanted something from us, but that they just wanted things for us. And so, you know, I had never experienced that as a believer, or like at that point, I really probably wasn't a believer, at least not a walking faithful believer. And so, like, it was just everything to me. I was like, we started gaining community. We started getting plugged in with people. And it just felt like the more that we wanted to seek opportunities, the more that there were opportunities. And so, you know, some, like, all of our best friends now, all of our community are people that go to Connection or people that are highly involved here. And so, as far as, you know, kind of really coming to faith and really owning my faith seriously, that was in a Connect group. And so, you know, I remember getting into Loy and Jace's Connect group and thinking I knew what it meant to follow the Lord. But, you know, in reality was very far from the Lord and very, like, not on the narrow path, but just getting to see other guys, like, love on me and care about me and, you know, be struggling with their own things and be wrestling with their faith, but taking it to the right person, you know, taking it to God and going into it through prayer and through, you know, encouragement and through accountability. And so in some ways, you know, the things in my life that I always kind of despised of, like, not really having a lot of close people and not really having a big community, like, I found a lot of that through Connection Church. And so getting more plugged in, that was the joy. That was the reward of, like, every time that we kind of turned to want a new opportunity or to want to be invested in, whether it was through growth challenges or Connect groups, and then eventually through CLP and through this job opportunity, you know, like, it was always met with, like, just joy of, I get to be more involved. Like, I get to do more. And I remember even wrestling with that, like, in the thought of, am I being called to ministry? Of just, like, what is the thing in my life that brings me the most joy for the Lord? It makes me feel like I am most aligned with His will for my life. And for me, that was, like, everything church. Like, that was everything of just having conversations about God and being involved in just, like, anything that was going on. And so in a lot of ways, like, this has fulfilled a lot of the holes, you know, my relationship with the Lord, and then my relationship with the Lord's people has fulfilled a lot of the things in my life that I never really had as a young adult and, you know, in college. And so in some ways, like, this is been an easy decision, but then in other ways, you know, like, there's obviously sacrifices and everything, but
yeah
I don't know if that answers the exact question,
but, for sure. I mean, that just kind of gives the story version of all of the nuts and bolts and the, like, play-by-play that we could walk through of, you know, our mission, our strategies, our etc. So that gives it, like, just in the story version of how one person sort of experiences it. Russ, what about for you?
Yeah, so some of the same similar stuff that Q talked about. Grew up in the church and, you know, came to college over here at Georgia Southern and kind of...
Q, sorry, did you have previous church experience before Connection?
Yeah, so I was raised Catholic until I was confirmed as, like, a, you know, 12 or 13-year-old. And then stepped kind of away from that. My mom just wanted me to get confirmed, and then she didn't, you know, force me to do anything beyond that. And then I kind of dabbled a little bit. My brother and his now wife, like, they went to a different church kind of when he got older and they started dating. And so I tagged along with them a couple of times. And then in college, I had a church in college that a couple of buddies on the track and field team would go to. And so, you know, kind of did the Christian athlete with quotes, did the Christian athlete thing and, you know, went to church on Sunday and got drunk on Saturday. So I had a little bit of church experience, but it was all of that was very different than Connection Church.
You didn't have to be an athlete for that one part there.
Yeah,
but,
that's right.
But there's a reason I sort of, you know, draw that point. It's because there's very few people, it's going to sound contradictory what I'm going to say, that most people in the context that we live would consider themselves Christians.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Most, especially where we live, maybe not in Atlanta, maybe not in Savannah. But for the most part in the Bible Belt where we are, most people generally are going to consider themselves Christians. And so to then come to an actual saving faith where you're actually beginning to follow Jesus and be obedient to him and submitted to him as Lord, not just calling him Savior, but mm-hmm. following him as Lord, that is a key part of our strategy.
Yeah.
So in talking about our discipleship pipeline, Q and Russ and I are all three examples of why the strategy matters and how it actually works. And so I wanted to back up and kind of catch that.
And to not get too bogged down in like another backstory, because mine can be very similar to Q's of just growing up in a church setting. But to your point, Jordan, is when things changed for me was when I got in a Connect group at Connection Church. And I've heard Billy Shiver say this, and I think I might have heard you say this too, Jordan, but it was like me sitting in a room and looking around and going, something's different here.
That's right.
Like,
yeah.
These guys in this room are living a different life than what I'm living, but we're claiming to be the same thing.
Yeah.
And it really opened my eyes to like, I'm missing something.
Yeah.
It's not them, it's me. I'm the problem.
I'm the oddball.
Yeah. And it caused me to really like look inward and realize that while I had lived my whole life kind of on my parents' spiritual disciplines and had lived my whole life kind of on this idea of, oh, I'm a good kid, I was raised in a good family, I'm a Christian, but I had not submitted myself under the Lordship to offer my life as a living sacrifice to follow the Lord and do his will. And it came to a screeching halt or it came to a head in that Connect group that led me into a true saving relationship to where I begin to follow the Lord.
I want to highlight there exactly that for all three of our stories, we're not saying that the churches that we grew up in didn't preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
We're not saying the families that we grew up in didn't understand the gospel or share the gospel with us. So that, in all three of our stories, would be my answer for why we need to continue to plant more churches, because it takes a village. It takes a gospel village to reach people that, you know, Dean and Sarah refers to it as the unsaved Christians mm-hmm. among us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, that transition from high school student to college student and then some college students to adults, like, it's very likely that we'll have college students that will graduate and they'll go on and hopefully they land at Connection Dublin or Vidalia or Rincon or Athens or Oconee or Millen or Wilkinson and Richmond Hill or any of these other ones, and then they'll get saved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we will have planted, somebody will have watered, but God will give the growth.
That's right.
And we needed that, right? And so, I know some students that will graduate from our sort of model and strategy, and they'll go to a more traditional. And I'm like, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's great. You know, because at the end of the day, it's about souls being saved and people being grown up in the Lord. And if a different strategy, that's all I'm getting at is models, strategies, those are all in pencil,
mm-hmm.
right? Like the bringing glory to the Lord and helping people grow in their walk with Christ, that's what's in pen. So we'll talk about how we break that down, but just trying to paint the picture for why does this conversation matter? It's because it takes a lot. It takes any number of different strategies. It takes mm-hmm. any number of different approaches. And some of it, I guess some I'm sensitive to a lot of infighting within Christianity. A lot of this over here is bad. This over here is good. This over here is best. This over here is not good at all. And just a lot of like, biting and devouring of one another that I think dishonors the Lord. I think we just want to paint the picture not with any type of arrogance or belief that we have it all figured out, but we do have a clear plan. And I think people struggle a lot of times coming into Connection because they want us to conform to their preferences and their church experience and background, rather than seeing we do have a clear vision, mission, strategy, values, measures of success, and you could just jump in and be part of what God has already kind of put us on the tracks to do, rather than trying to make it a yeah, but also kind of an approach to ministry.
And it's hard, and sometimes I know I can even be guilty of doing this, but I can come off somewhat maybe harshly or overbearing for people when it comes to our vision and our mission and our strategies. But I think the thing that that comes from is experience. It comes from I know what it did in my life, and I know what it did in other people's lives that I've been gracious enough to be around and see God radically change people and the growth that they've experienced. And so it's hard for me to look at what we do and be like, yeah, it might work, or it kind of works. But it's like, I've actually seen this plan. I've seen this game plan, if you will, that the Lord has blessed us with actually change people's lives.
Right.
And it's hard to argue with that.
And not just at a salvation level, but like growing to maturity.
For sure.
And being called to unreached people groups and planting churches and pastoring churches. And, you know, if you want to misunderstand it and misrepresent it, anybody can, and they can do that in any number of ways. But when it's personal for you, when it's something that's changed your life, it feels extremely valuable. And that's where we are. All right, so let's kind of break it down. So our vision statement, and put you guys on the spot. Don't look around. There's no posters in here, Quentin. What's the vision statement?
That the earth would be covered with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 2:14.
Yep. So that's definitely the verse, and that's sort of the, but it's until every person knows. Which is,
it's the verse summed up into the.
And so for every piece, for the vision statement and for the other pieces, there are specific verses that we'll turn to look at those things, and that's the one we turn to for the vision statement of until every person knows. And what's our mission statement?
To connect, equip, and send God's people.
Amen.
There we go. Okay, so now we can unpack the mission statement. So vision lets you know when you're done. So if the vision for vacation is to have an awesome time at Fernandina, then you know you're done when you've arrived at Fernandina and you're having a nice time, right? And so for us, we will know we're done. What you giggling about?
I thought you were about to just leave it at having an awesome time, and I'm like, I guess you're just going to be on vacation until it's fun.
Dude, if that were the case, we'd be on vacation a long time.
Yeah, lying until our kids are grown and out of the Fernandina, house.
I was like, man, I'm glad he set a place.
Oh, man. Yeah, especially for you with this newborn phase. It's just...
All right, we made it.
Yeah. I love we're done. Jordan always refers to vacation as, it's just a road game. We're doing the same thing, but we're just on the road.
Yeah, it's parenting on the road. It's an away game.
But to your point, yes, like a vision lets us know
when we're done.
Yeah.
Mission helps us understand what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to connect, equip, and send God's people. And so... that kind of gives us the way I always break it down in our pipeline. If you could visualize me drawn on a whiteboard, it would be taking each of those three words, connect, equip, and send. And that would be laying it out sort of left to right. And each of those are, we have a connect strategy, an equip strategy, and a send strategy. And so for each of those strategies, you have to be thinking about people.
Mm-hmm.
And so who is the connect strategy primarily looking to engage?
Disconnected people.
Disconnected people.
Unsaved.
Yep, that's the two right there. So we're trying to target people that are disconnected from walking with the Lord or disconnected from the local church, which the disconnected from the Lord would be those who are unsaved, right, that are not currently walking with the Lord, which is where the Lord met all of us. And so you know, right there on the nose. I think me and Russ were around when this was a lot closer to a church plant, and so we got connected. We went from unsaved to walking with the Lord through connect groups. And that's still very much, if you think about, like, what are the front doors of the church? You think about when you go over to someone's house, where's the front door? How do I get inside to be with these people? The front doors typically for the church back then were both connect group and Sunday morning. I think that's still fair that mm-hmm. people can get connected through connect groups, but it's not as obvious.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to, if this rubs you the wrong way, just be patient and listen for just a second, that the church has grown to a place of maturity, and it is, Tim Keller talks about a church in its life cycle graduates from something being purely organic, which is a new church plant, right? You overlook things in the organic phase of, like, I don't really know where to park. There's not enough parking. This is somebody else's building, like a school, or like, the, you know, we've retrofitted this thing, and it feels all gritty and sometimes grimy.
Yeah.
For, you know, but you're there because you love the purely organic part of the movement, and it graduates eventually to something that's more institutional. Well, we have a building now, right? We have a massive parking lot. We have property, so we can fit 1,000 people in each service, and we offer 2 services. And so we are more at an institutional time in our church. So therefore, the front door is primarily our Sunday morning, mm-hmm. right? And so that's Q representing that well of somebody invited him to a connection church, a worship gathering, and he comes in and he hears the preaching, and then he goes to the first time guest process, and people greet him, and he comes to welcome to connection. All of those were things that were housed under the connect strategy. For the most part in the life of our church, that's the connect strategy. Worship gatherings, some type of hospitality, and then some type of a next step. Within next steps, the thing we are trying to, and this we're sharing this especially because our connect group leaders, our disciple makers, people that are super invested in the life of our church, understanding this discipleship process will help you walk alongside us as the same level of ambassador for what God is doing in our local church as if you were on staff. You could just walk alongside and walk through this process with people of, I want people to be walked through the front door of, in short, it's just, how do we help people find an initial relationship in the life of all of these people? It's not about, come hear our awesome worship, come hear our amazing preaching. It's, hey, come get into a relationship with these people. That's the strategy. Mm-hmm. That's the connect strategy. Yeah. And at the end of that, the capstone of the connect process, the connect strategy, is heart and soul. That people would come and hear the vision for what does it mean to be heart and soul with Jesus, and then what does it mean to be heart and soul with Jesus specifically at Connection Church Statesboro. And they'll have a chance to hear a clear understanding of the gospel, a clear flow of how the Bible works, what does it mean to have a saving relationship with Jesus, and then a one-on-one conversation, probably with Quentin, who kind of oversees a lot of the connect capstone of all of that. Anything y'all want to add to that? Anything I left out?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right, that's the connect strategy. So that is, the strategy focusing on people so that when the people move through the end of the connect strategy, they will be heart and soul with Connection Church.
That's right.
All right, so the next part is the equip strategy. All right, walk me through the equip strategy as best you guys remember.
So I think from heart and soul, we begin to, and this is where specifically, and Q, you may want to speak on some of this, is we begin to get people to next steps. And next steps for them can look really different. But I think about, like, getting involved in serving in our church and how even through serving, you go through training that begins to equip you and help you grow in your relationship. You may sign up for baptism, and then through baptism, you have conversations that are kind of on the front front part of that equipping doorway. They may not be super in depth. I know, Q, you've talked a lot about how sometimes you wish you had more time for those conversations, but you do well with the time that you have. You have connect groups, people getting involved in a group, and it's no secret that we believe here at Connection Church that that's where the life change happens, is in connect group. That is where we see the most growth through our people of our churches sitting in a group, in a community, and just beginning to share vulnerability, beginning to share and confess sins, just allowing people to help walk alongside of you as you grow. And then even in that, something that we've done here as lately is really tried to spearhead our discipleship movement, even in a deeper level beyond connect group, with discipleship groups or triads, if you will, and people getting into these even more intimate relationships and begin walking through experiencing God, or you may walk through a book of the Bible or whatever, but just even to dig in a little bit more to begin to grow to a spiritual maturity, to begin to, you know, create more spiritual disciplines in your life that are allowing you to be equipped for the work of the ministry. Did a cat just die in here somewhere? What was that?
Did Charlotte just get here?
Maybe Keller.
No, that is very possible, especially since he should be napping currently, mm-hmm. and I know he's not for sure.
That's right.
Let me talk about that for just a second, because I've been here for 6 years now, and my technical title has been the director of equipping, and so that has looked like a million different things, mm-hmm. just in the time that I've been here. One thing that Russ said that is really important is real life change happens in community, and that's sort of the tagline of our connect group process. I stole this from Vidalia, but we've started telling people in Heart and Soul that if you're not in a connect group, you will be insufficiently shepherded in the life of our church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take time to raise up and empower these connect group leaders because we super believe in them. They are the front lines of shepherding. We're not saying they're pastors. We're not saying that it's their responsibility to pastor. But what I have concluded in my time here as the director of equipping is that the thing that we're after is not information overload. It's life transformation.
That's right.
And that happens through relationships. I think about all the time what you said, Quentin, of like when you went to the DR and you saw all these people and you would like share the gospel as clearly and as plainly. And at the end of it, the people that rejected it, it was very educational.
Yeah.
And that like,
yeah.
Wait, you're not accepting this.
Yeah.
Let me try again. Let me give you this information again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you understand what you're saying no to.
Yeah, like it would get to the point where Marie would have to kind of step in, because I'd be like, hey, what do you think hell is like? You know, and she's like, oh, okay, maybe let's not go there. And that's just my own like ignorance of not like sharing the gospel that many times.
That guy's holding an M16. Yeah. Yeah. Stop.
Yeah.
Q's putting people in a Nolan Ryan headlock.
Yes, sir.
Beating them over the head with the Bible.
I'm just like, do you not understand that if the world ends tomorrow, like you're actively saying that you want to go to this place? But yeah, I mean, and even like the DR was a great example and a great learning experience for me of just, what you're getting at is like you can clearly explain the gospel to somebody, but without relationship and without influence in their life. And the biggest part of without the Holy Spirit moving and the heart change, transformation, God making that move towards that person so they can clearly hear that and hear the truth and believe it. I mean, yeah, like it's not possible. Like it's, or at least it's very, very difficult without those things.
Bingo. And that's my conclusion, is that even at the equipping process, mm-hmm. that, listen, there are people, there are endless YouTube videos, lectures, classes, books. Like, I can be a thoroughfare of information and just stand at the intersection and point you in towards whatever resource for information that you need. But there's only one thing that is going to result in actual equipping life change, and those are transformational relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's why we have dropped back and really punted on all things classes, seminars, which is why we did away with CEA, which was the Connection Equipping Academy. We've done away with growth challenges, closed the gaps, And even, you know, currently it's just more of staff bandwidth, but done away with community nights. It's because none of those things will do for our heart and soul people what being in discipleship will.
That's right.
Which is life on life, one-on-one, one-on-two, walking through material with people that can then hold you accountable to it. Mm-hmm. And that,
yeah. Well, I think what is like really clear, and as like you're talking about this, is like, I don't want to make it sound like I went through this process and just like snuck through. And it was because of a staff member that like I became heart and soul and then got into a connect group and then got saved. Like I knew what to say. Like right. When someone sat down with me for my heart and soul follow up, yes, I could, they, you know, said, hey, tell me about your salvation story. Like, what was it like for you to meet Christ? And I told them, like, I don't remember what I said, but I told them something that was good enough to where they thought that like, yeah, this kid probably has a relationship with God. And I don't know about you all, but like, I'm sure like getting into a connect group, you weren't like aware of your unbelief. Like you probably had a very solid, at least idea.
Say that again, Quentin.
You were very unaware of your unbelief.
Yeah. That's a great way to say that.
And it took like, cause I don't want to discredit this and make it sound like I was just I just like walked through and then got into a connect group. And I was like, wait, you're telling me there's this guy that died for me? Like, right. I'd love to give my life to that. I've never heard it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I had heard the gospel. Like, I was well aware of who Jesus was and what he had done and,
right.
like, was raised in the faith. But it, like what you're saying, to what
could
you're saying.
Could have
rattled
off any number of Sunday school pieces of information.
Yes.
Where's Jesus from? Nazareth. Well, you know,
yeah.
Yeah, yada, yada, yada. Where's the temple? Jerusalem.
Yeah, but it took, like, what you're saying, it took relationship. Like, it took me seeing it and relationship and experiencing truly like what this was to be like, yeah, like Russ said perfectly before, like that is not me. Like whatever those guys have, I don't have it.
And here's what I would say. It's not just from the equipping standpoint. It's the same principle. People, just same way in the connecting process, people are unaware of their unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
In the equipping process, a lot of people are unaware of their immaturity.
Yeah.
And so no amount of like seminars and lectures and classes that we could host does not fix immaturity, but that's what equipping accomplishes, as helping people grow to maturity. But that happens in relationships, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. the way where you're equipping, where your skill is going to be deployed is in yeah. the context of relationships.
Well, you start realizing like I'm above my station. Like you start mm-hmm. like if you start having to flex the muscles of a Christian and you're in a group and you're like, hey, well, You're saying you're dealing with this, you're yeah. struggling with this thing, let's pray about it. And then you have to go pray about it. And I'm like, wait a second, like,
yeah.
this doesn't feel right for me. Like, mm-hmm. you're having to flex muscles that are of a person that you're not.
Yeah.
To that point, I'm going to use an old cliche saying that so much of discipleship, so much of equipping is caught and not taught.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, Q, is I've been in places in context of relationships. And it's not all the things that they said. It's me just picking up on things that the way they live their life and going, I don't do that.
Yeah.
That's different.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all the information, to your point, Jordan, information overload of all the things that they said. It's me noticing something in their life and going,
like they have a relationship with this
yeah,
Heavenly Father.
I have now realized that there's something immature
what do you mean
in
you
me.
You prayed about that and God spoke to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I was just sending this up to him in hopes that he was going to, like, smile at me one day and think fondly.
Something yeah. recently that happened to me at the elder retreat was sitting down at a table with one of Dublin's elders, and this dude is, like, my age, and he's just talking about the spiritual disciplines of his life, just in conversation. It's not like he's sitting across from me and saying, hey, let me tell you what you need to be doing. This is just general conversation, and some of the stuff that he says, and I'm like, this is mind-boggling. This mm-hmm. dude is different.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that he said that I have tried to implement more in my life, because it convicted me a lot, is my discipleship should never cost my wife and children something. It mm-hmm. should cost me something. Mm-hmm. Meaning I'm not going to sacrifice the time that I'm supposed to be spending with them, discipling my family, to do discipleship in other areas.
Yeah.
It's going to be a sacrifice of my own time. And that was like huge.
One of the things that he said, same guy, it's Alex Knight. He's one of the elders at Connection Dublin. He said that sleep has never given me what the voice of God has.
Yeah.
And so that sacrifice of time.
Yeah,
of
not hitting your snooze button, but getting up out of bed.
Snooze button's never given me what time with my Heavenly Father has.
Amen.
And that's, you know, and to the point now, what we're talking about is somebody that has been through the sending process. They have been raised to maturity to be sent off as a leader of God's mission, and we'll get there. We'll talk about that.
For sure.
But that already is a great contrast to the normal person who's in the equipping process.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly where we want them. This isn't like judgment. This isn't frustration or disappointment. This is exactly who they are. For a lot of our folks in the life of our church, they were saved in the last year to 2 years, or they were previously disconnected, not following the Lord. If they were a Christian, all the Christian muscles have atrophied.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're expressing a desire currently to begin to walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know about y'all's kids. My kids didn't go from immobile to running. Keller was close, but there was a butt scooch to crawling to waddling to there was a lot of falling along the way, exactly. And so the best thing that can walk alongside that type of person is relationship, which is, so yes, there is a need for some things, some teachings, right? The Bible talks about teaching, the gift of teaching, and it's not a bad thing. It's just in our strategy, this is how it flows. And my conclusion regarding the equipping area is that the best ways for us to equip people is in the confines of close-knit relationships.
That's right.
And so me helping train and raise up a connect group leader is still a relational activity, and it's going to be deployed in the context of people. Same way within that connect group of people getting going from being heart and soul, my clear call to them is you need to join a connect group.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Connect Group, you're going to be exposed to people, whether it's like an Alex Knight that we were just talking about, or a Quentin Thurman, a Russ DeMott, you know, our wives, that they're going to see a different walk and relationship with the Lord, and we're counting on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if now, just one, let me pastor for just 1 second. If you're sitting in Connect Group and you're grumbling about why Connection Church does what it does, or you're disappointed, that's going to communicate to the people that we have worked hard to get connected into that space, and they're missing a key equipping opportunity, which is your joy in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We as staff have a strategy. We want to get them into relationship with you. And now, if in relationship with you, you're grumbling and bitter and frustrated, and you're confused about why are we doing what we're doing, we need to clear that up.
And that's different from, I had a hard week.
Yeah.
Or my child had a blowout on the way here, and it's tough. You know, like
I had a blowout on the way.
Yeah. Like you're allowed to be a human and to experience human things. No one here is asking you to be perfect and always have a smile on your face, but there's some sense of maturity of just being a Christian and having a joy of life and a hope for eternity and that we don't set our hope on the things of this world. And so, yes, like your life is hard and it can be hard, but if you're constantly as a connect group leader coming, I think what Jordan is speaking of is like the consistent grumbling, the consistent, like we talked about vision and what we didn't talk about was like cultures, but like that you're obviously not bought into the cultures of Connection Church. And so I just wanted to air that out of like, that's not to say you can never have a bad day and never, you know, be honest and genuine with your Connect Group members. I think you 100% should.
That's
like they need to see the real person that you and the real struggles that you have, but that shouldn't reflect poorly on your leadership as a Connect Group leader.
Also, a Connect Group's not a Bible study.
Mic drop.
You want me to just leave that there? Leave it unexplained? Russ, why is a Connect Group not a Bible study?
I'm thinking. I'm processing. I'm trying to say something so it doesn't, I don't get railroaded for what I said on the podcast. I think that I'm going to just use my own experience and I guess opinion, if you will, is I've been a part of a lot of Bible studies. Mm-hmm. I've been a part of a lot of things to where you come in and you have a set, you know, hey, we're going through this Bible study called Courageous or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is, let me just come in, let me play the part, let me consume. But a connect group is so much more than that, because it is a group of people that are growing. It is a group of people that are diving into the Word. It is a group of people that are bringing their frustrations, to your point, Q, their vulnerabilities, their struggles, their weaknesses, their, hey, I haven't read my Bible in a couple weeks, and I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know how to deal with this. Okay, let's stop what we're doing, and let's pray through this. Let's. Mm-hmm. You said this, Jordan, one time, and I've used it so many times, and I love it, is that I'm just as much worried about what you haven't been doing, what you haven't been getting out of the Word, that you haven't been reading, as I am what you have been getting, because that still tells me where you're at as a Connect Group member and how I can help you as the leader.
Bible study is about what you know. Connect Group's about who you are.
Yeah.
Mm. We're trying to change who you are as a follower of Jesus, not just inform you of things that you need to know. We have a different space for that. We still want to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in Connect Group, we're trying to help you get connected with people that will challenge who you are.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit about and so anyway, the equipping process is sort of capstoned when you, again, the process or the strategy is the equipping strategy. And it is, and this isn't necessarily exhaustive, but the capstone of the equipping process is they are a multiplier,
mm-hmm.
which is the goal of this podcast, is to help walk alongside people that are multipliers. So that is, have you been discipled, and can you make disciples?
Mm-hmm.
That's the capstone of the equipping mm-hmm. process. And so there is just no way around. You have to have been discipled to in order to make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of ways to do that. And so all along the way, if you think about this equipping journey, there's books that we're recommending. There's counseling that people are doing. There's things that they're listening to. There's podcasts that they're hearing. There's audiobooks and all kind of things. There's any number of things. It's a head, heart, hands sort of effort. We're trying to shape and form all of those into being a multiplier, somebody that's able to make disciples. And now lastly, the sending process. All right, so what all lives in the sending process, in the sending strategy?
We talk about this a lot because I want to say like short and long-term missions, but we've talked about how short-term missions can be kind of also in the equipping area. But
I think
like,
short-term missions is equipping.
Yeah, so long-term missions, church planting.
Yep.
I was going to say church planting residency, what we send our...
Right, so Q's describing what people wind up doing, but... The process itself so
residency
mm-hmm. is CLP. One. CLP is another. Just, again, as if people don't know what these things are. CLP is the connection leader path. We don't talk about it a ton because it just winds up being purely shoulder tap. You know, people get asked and invited into that just purely through relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Just for purely sure. through relationship. Almost never had to recruit for I've never had to recruit for CLP.
Yeah, to your point, like the moment you said that, I think about it, is there's not like a sign up. It's like you have had people within the life of our church come to you and say, "Hey, I'm seeing something in this person that's really like we need to get them in and get our hands on them and get walk through some of this sending because God's really doing something in their life."
And really what you're describing, like, they've also just made themselves known, like, through getting involved. I don't even think it's some, I mean, I don't know exactly what the process was for me, but, like, it on the backside of what I couldn't see of whether somebody said
something.
Let me pull
out my Quentin Thurman file.
Yeah, go ahead and pull out the file of Quentin Thurman and how did this crazy guy get here? But, yeah, it was just, like, I think of the people that have gone through CLP, like, they just made themselves known. They saw the opportunities and they're like, yeah, I want to get involved. It wasn't that like they had this broad vision in mind of like, I want to go to see, like the CLP wasn't necessarily the goal. It was a product of them just.
I've only ever had, I think, one person ask me to be a part of CLP. It was Mr. Gary.
Mm-hmm.
He just was eager to jump in and be a part, just hungry for a learning opportunity. And, you know, it was just awesome. That just revealed his heart, you know. And so, anyway, you know, before we all start crying.
Yeah.
The connection leader path, and let's go through sort of all of it. On the other end is a person, right? So we're taking a multiplier, the person, putting them through the send strategy. And on the other side, the type of person that we're trying to raise up is a leader of God's mission.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that can be somebody that goes to the nations, like Marie and Alex have, like another couple has, that they have gone through a sending process, and at the other end, they have changed location. They have gone to the nations. Or you can be an equipping leader. That's the way Vidalia expresses it, is you can be an equipping leader, or other words, local. You can stay kind of here. So I would describe for both of y'all, but all three of us for sure, is we are still leaders of the mission of God.
Mm-hmm.
We just express that locally by mobilizing. And so we continue to work this process. And so people will get to the end, using Quentin as an example, of he helps primarily mobilize the connect strategy of getting people through heart and soul, through baptism, which we didn't talk about in the connect strategy. Please don't send Quentin an email or get frustrated about that.
My email is jthigpen.
And so a local, more local equipping leader, somebody that kind of helps mobilize people through this process again. And so how we accomplish that, somebody who at this point, they are multiplying not just their own life by making disciples, but they're multiplying their connect group, meaning they're able to raise up a leader and send them out to start a new connect group or hand off their group to someone else. CLP, the connection leader path, is seeking specifically to close the gap between somebody that feels called to ministry and getting their first ministry job. That's what it exists to do. Therefore, the prerequisites are you have to, one, be able to express a call to ministry,
mm-hmm.
and two, actively be making disciples currently. And so that's how that flows. And then there's other things. There's residency. So I oversee the assessment process for the Connection Network. Billy oversees the residency process. And so that's what Bo and Lauren Riles are getting ready to go into. That's a Connection Vidalia church plant, but we all participate in as a family. The sending residency, I just oversaw that for Marie and for Alex, that there was a sending process that we met. There are specific things, specific competencies that they needed in partnership with their sending agency to get them ready to go be leaders of God's mission in another global context. So anyway, there's a lot there that goes into that, but that's sort of our disciple-making process. At the end of that is, now, here's what I would challenge our people with. Where is the bare minimum of obedience in that pipeline for every Christian?
Salvation.
I was going to say salvation as well. Well, no, I take my.
Oh,
that is the first. That's the first step of obedience. That's what you're asking. Is the bare minimum is that we would go and make disciples. Yes. That we would be a disciple maker.
And I think
bait and switch.
Got him.
What was the bait and what was the switch?
Hey, you left out baptism. All right.
Wow.
Hey, I said something about baptisms, just so you know.
I think we're talking about something. Let's move on. Come on.
Way to deflect. That was great. The bare minimum, this is what, and I think most people think, like, yeah, as long as I've gotten saved, what's the rest of it matter?
Mm-hmm. See, I said that, so then you could say this. Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
That's great.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being a great representation of a nominal Christian.
Yeah.
So the bare minimum, biblically speaking, the only problem with the first view of the as long as I get saved, what else matters is the rest of the Bible.
Yeah.
The rest of it is make disciples. The rest of it is you will be my witnesses, mm-hmm. in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Revelation, like there will be a representative of every tribe, every tongue, every nation around the throne worshiping the Lamb that defeated the dragon. We'll mm-hmm. talk about the dragon in another podcast, Nephilim Corner.
Yes, sir.
And so there we will. That's but the bare minimum, and this is what I would challenge our connect group leaders and multipliers to really internalize. This is why it can't just be the staff that oversee the connect process, the equip process, the sending process. This is every person that's heart and soul. We have to be pulling in the same direction that the minimum obedience is making disciples. I would make the case that every Christian should strive to be part of church planting. I'm not saying to be a church planter, the lead preaching, you know, on staff church planter, but that every Christian should strive to be a part of church planting. So,
when I think we get a really unique and cool opportunity with Bo and Lauren to firsthand, like, see what that's like, where a lot of people maybe don't get that opportunity.
Yeah. And I mean, I've even challenged people in our church who have some sort of logistics is not the right word. Location mm-hmm. would help them go and be a part of that church plant, of like, go and be a part of something like this,
yeah.
and like experience what the Lord has in doing this and being, you know, the hands, the feet, and going and being on the mission field, if you will, to plant a new church.
Let me ask this. This is a question that popped into my mind. If you could tell everybody that's listening, if you could give them a homework assignment to go and do that would better help them understand the disciple-making pipeline as a whole or our ministry strategy as a whole, what one piece of homework would you give them to do? I'll go first. I'll get, just to let you guys have a second.
Salvation.
Oh, I would go visit another Connection Church. Just go and see how somebody took the original vision and went and expressed it somewhere else. And just look around and see what's happening. And I specifically, one of the newest ones would be great. If you're going to go visit, I think of you know, the Marshes who have had a daughter that's gone to UGA or somebody else that just has a family. If you have a kid that goes to UGA and goes to a lesser university, that they go and visit Connection Athens or find a time, email Jamie, text Jamie and say, hey, I just to understand this whole strategy better, could I just sit in on a core team meeting? Or as Bo is getting started in Reidsville, hey, could I just bring cookies enough for however many is on the core team and just sit in and listen just because I want to understand all of this better. And the newer, the better. But, I mean, there's nothing wrong with going and seeing Connection Vidalia and what God is doing there. You would think that we just copied and pasted this building there, and it's very, very similar. But at the same time, extremely different. And so that would be my homework. If you really want to understand this, go and visit one of the other Connection churches and see. I think it would be a huge blessing to you. What about for y'all?
My homework would be to go and really pray through some of this and think about, where am I at in this pipeline? Be honest with myself of where do I fall in this pipeline? And then once you come to that, also be honest with yourself, what's preventing me from taking the next step farther into the pipeline?
Yeah.
Look at my life. And I'm speaking out of a place of my own lifestyle, as I had to come to a realization that I – even in the idea of this pipeline had gotten to a point where I was like, I think I'm all right kind of being here. But then God was like, no, you're not. And it came for some of my willpower to die, to say, like, I'm not going to – my flesh wants to continue to live for the things of this world and also chase the things of God. But, like, those two things can't interact at the same time. And so, again, to reiterate, is go home and pray about, where am I at in this, and then what's preventing me from moving on further down the pipeline?
Yeah. Still thinking?
That was some good homework. I definitely, my heart lands a lot with, like, what Russ said of just, like, seek the Lord. You know, I think that maybe my homework would be, like, talk to people that know you well. Like, Talk with people. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a connect group leader. But, like, in all honesty, what, like, I had never thought really about ministry. Like, I mean, I have an undergraduate degree in exercise science. Like, I had experience coaching, and
is that why you stretch so much in your?
That's why I stretch so much. That's why the door is always closed, and I got that film on the. You know, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but. Like,
you don't
want to
be a stumbling block, and they're doing them stretches.
I'm trying to be serious here, Russ. Come on. But Lloyd Waters, like, I remember him asking me in discipleship, have you ever thought about ministry? Like, I remember him just me sharing my heart about the things that God was doing. And, like, I remember him being like, well, have you ever thought about ministry? Have you ever thought about going into ministry? And, like, that planted a really big seed of, like, wait a second. Like, I could to then ask questions, to then have conversations with Jordan, who I really did not know at the time, of, like, what would this look like? And is it possible, you know, like, I don't know if I can go to seminary, but like what can I do? Like, if this is my heart, what are the opportunities? And it's not like you told me, hey, 3 years from now, I'm going to have a job for you or something like that. But I think most of the encouragement was just like, keep pursuing the Lord and just keep pursuing whatever he's putting in front of you. But I would talk with the people that know you well,
that's good.
And see what they see in you. A lot of times, at least in my walk, it's difficult for me being so close to situations to see on the outside what God could be doing. And so a lot of times I have to be intentional about taking time to ask other people, both from an encouragement and an accountability standpoint of what are you seeing in my life? What are you seeing? What patterns are you seeing? I keep saying that.
That's a lot of maturity though, to externalize self-awareness that you would depend on the community of believers to help you know exactly where you're at. That's a lot. I mean, that's not a small piece of homework, but that's an exceptional one.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you have done Russ's homework and you seek the Lord and you're like, man, I do feel a calling for more, I think you need to talk to people about that and you need to vocalize that and really begin to kind of put thoughts into action and into words. I think that's really, really important, and not just let it sit there at an idea level and then eventually die because you never did anything with it.
Yeah. This is just sort of changing lanes, but something y'all have said, I'm thinking, Russ, I think about when that switched, so I hope this isn't too insider. I'm not trying to communicate this as if it should be embarrassing. It's not meant to be embarrassing, but
I'm an open book.
Well, it's not embarrassing for you. It actually, in truthfulness, is embarrassing for other people that I'll leave unnamed, but that I remember when you wanted your hobbies and preferences to be able to have a garment of ministry on top of them when you weren't ready to let those things go.
For sure.
And Russ has been one of the best Connect Group leaders we've had for almost 15 years. And so that's still at that point, walking with the Lord for that long of a period of time, what still was the last thing that had to be sort of put off, using Colossians 3 that Amen. Quentin taught
yes,
us
so sir.
Eloquently with the other week. The thing that had to be put off was preference and hobby. And, you know, I think it's really reflective of a lot of my friend group that I have this conversation of light of a desire to take my hobby of hunting and fishing and add a garment of ministry on top of that. Maybe it's a fundraiser for a global missions thing, or, you know, I can help, a less fortunate child or something like that. My challenge with that is, would you look at is there actual spiritual fruitfulness in your hobby? Because if there's not, then stop trying to pretend and call it discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
Just say it's your hobby, and that's what you enjoy doing. And there is a way to do this. Now, Brandon gets into a million different evangelistic encounters, mostly because he's got a deer with a knife to its throat, and he's looking at the hunter and saying, would you like for this to be you?
Yeah.
And he Jesus says, loves you.
Put your hand on this animal so that your sins can be transferred onto it. And that's what the Old Testament was like, all right?
The old scape deer.
Yeah.
But to your point, I remember having to sit in that. And, like, I remember the Lord began to wreck me and really kind of took my desire for some of the stuff that I've loved to do for a long time completely away from me.
I've gotten a lot of free gear out of you not wanting to hold on to that anymore.
He's ready to give you a boat.
But here's what I would tell anybody listening is there is nothing more fulfilling, more life-giving, and more joyful. I'm not saying that there aren't frustrating days, and I'm not saying there aren't frustrating times, but there's nothing more fulfilling, life-giving than getting involved in what God's doing and getting involved in the mission.
And that doesn't mean being on staff.
No.
It's because now it's 100% available to every person.
Yeah.
That's right.
But it does mean that you're having to sacrifice some things. It doesn't necessarily mean you're on staff, but it means that you are having to sacrifice some things in your life to make space for that.
And that's what it means to be heart and soul, right? Like at the end of the day, it's not, there's not two classes of Christians in the life of our church, people that are heart and soul and people that are disciple mm-hmm. makers. It's just that everybody that's heart and soul should be maturing to the point that they are making disciples and actively participating in the mission of God. And so, look, have a hobby. I'm all for it. Just don't call it ministry. It's just a hobby. And it can be a hobby. Like, that's okay. Now, I've been blessed by people that have taken me fishing, that have taken me hunting, and I love it. I've had, you know, call them congregants, whatever, people that just are in the life of our church that have loved on me and loved on my family, and I've been extremely grateful for that. But it's my responsibility as a pastor to be clear of equipping the saints for the work of ministry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the work of ministry is not your hobby.
That's right.
So, well, good deal. Let's wrap this up. Any other thoughts?
Listen to God and do what he says.
Listen to God.
Amen.
Do what he says. I'm grateful for both of you guys. I'm grateful for your partnership in the gospel. This was a fun conversation. Thanks for thinking about this ahead of time, too, and getting us
You're
set
welcome.
Up for us.
Yep.
And we'll see you guys next time on Equipped.